Next, we have report and possible discussion on a report from the Bogdan Group, our pension advisor. And John Haas is also absent, so. Richard?
I've got it.
Thank you.
You've got three presentations in front of you. The one we're looking at now just is titled Brazos River Authority Retirement Trust, fourth quarter 2011. You've already, you know, gotten a background on what happened in the market, but on page two of the report, it's really kind of interesting. The quarter was really a good quarter, whether you were in the U.S. or, quite frankly, in Europe, it was even positive. Fixed income was positive for the quarter. And the 1 year was totally different. I mean, in Europe, significant negative returns. Emerging markets being the poorest performing area in the international scene, down over 18%. Small cap had negative returns in the U.S. Large cap had positive returns. So we had kind of a mixture on equities in the U.S. And all of the fixed income areas in the U.S. From the standpoint of the aggregate returns were positive. So it was kind of a mixed bag, positive from the standpoint of 1 year U.S. fixed income, overall U.S. positive in equities, and in the international scene, ex-U.S. was negative and double-digit negative returns. If I could get you, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information on the markets here you can go through, but I would just like to, you know, to move along and talk about what happened to your portfolio. So if you turn first to page 13 and page 12 and 13, we can look at overall asset allocation. The largest, if you will, allocation is to domestic equity. And then the next largest allocation is to fixed income. Domestic equity being at around 50 to 51% of the overall allocation, fixed income at 31%, and then some international equity at a little over 15% and 3% in cash equivalents. You heard from BlackRock, and if you look down on page 13 in the December allocation, BlackRock Large Cap Core is about 39% of the overall assets of the plan, and the fixed income from BlackRock is there at 33%. We do have some Harbor International securities at 15.4%, and we've got some mid-cap securities with Royce Premier Fund at about 12% of the allocation. On page 15, looking at our overall targets that we had talked about last year, and including, if you will, the two asset classes that we're talking about today and the targets that we're talking about putting to work, we're significantly overweight in domestic large cap equity and obviously underweight in the two asset classes that are up for consideration. And it's pretty much an even balance there about taking out of large cap and filling in the two asset classes would put us pretty much back into balance. And maybe a little bit, if you will, out of the small to mid-cap equity. I would imagine, and I don't have the numbers, that the small to mid-cap equity year-to-date is looking very, very nice at this particular point in time. Also, there's been a huge rebound year-to-date in the international area, too. So, you know, knock on wood, if we don't have a bad February and March, we should be looking at some fairly nice numbers come next quarter. On page excuse me, on page 17, we started the fiscal year, if you will, with about $23 million in assets. At the end of December, we had $21.4 million in assets, some $300,000 plus of contributions, $1.3 million of distributions, 50-some-odd thousand dollars in fees, 90-some-odd thousand dollars in expenses, $716,000 in income, and a capital depreciation over the last 10 months of $1.3 million that gives us the $21.4 at the end of December. As you remember, the first part of last year was somewhat up. We were flat in the second quarter, and we had an absolutely horrible third quarter during the year. Fourth quarter recovered part of that, and, you know, knock on wood, hopefully this quarter is going to recover a little bit more so that we end the fiscal year in hopefully decent shape this time. 2 weeks to go, so keep your fingers crossed. On page 18 and 19 are performance of the various areas of the fund. Page 18 are the trailing calendar years, and page 19 are trailing periods through December 31, 2011. We had a good quarter. The trust was up on a net basis 7%. Year-to-date basis, almost 1%, which was for the year the same thing. The 3 years, 7.2, and 5 years, 1.1. Keeping in mind that in that five-year period was one of the three worst equity markets of the last 100 years. If you look down on the total equity, about 6 months ago, we were talking about the fact that we were having a little bit of trailing from BlackRock, and I brought out the point at that particular time frame that most of the equity managers that were doing quite well were those that had, if you want to call it riskier, securities in there. And BlackRock had a very high-quality portfolio that when quality came back into focus, the portfolio should start doing better, and it has. Domestic equity for the year was up at 2%, and that includes also the returns, if you will, from your Royce Premier Fund. And that 2% on a total domestic basis versus other total domestic equity portfolios in the plans across the U.S. puts you into the first quartile. That's very good performance. International equity, although it was negative, negative 11%, which is hard to stomach, but I think over long periods of time, this international equity is going to do quite well for you, was right near first quartile performance with a rank of 27. Fixed income was a little bit, if you will, below average with a 6.9% return above the intermediate aggregate. There were a number of areas in the fixed income market and, quite frankly, some of the lower quality fixed income securities that did quite well over that time frame, which were not contained in this portfolio. On pages 20 and 21, we look at the managers, and I said earlier BlackRock Large Cap Core was up 2.9% for the year versus the S&P 500 at 2.1, and very close to first quartile performance for the year. Royce Premier had a slightly negative return, but first quartile performance compared to other funds that are in that small to mid-cap area. They were down 0.7%. The 2500 Russell 2500 index was down 2.5%. So much better than the index and near first quartile performance, albeit a slightly negative return. Harbor International, we saw that earlier with a negative 11% versus the index, which was a negative 13%. Fixed income, we've already talked about 6.9% for the year and below average return. The other charts in here, we can go through them, but it's just a layout and a graphic portrayal of the information that I just talked about. And you can see, if you will, on page 22 from the standpoint of the total fund, that for the first, for the trailing 1 year, 1.27% puts you close to the first quartile. For the 3 year time frame, below average. And for the standpoint of the 4 years, just slightly below average, and 5 years below average. Are there any questions on overall fund performance?
Hope for a good year.
Well, you know, knock on wood, we're starting fairly strong. And, you know, I just hope that it continues that way.
Is there any way we can salt grease off of them?
Well, you know, one of the things that over years you get to see this happen is that markets expand, you know, farther than they should, and they contract farther than they should. And I think that this last year when we had the third quarter where it really got hammered, I think it was like that rubber band that was stretching down. And hopefully it's going to, you know, pop back somewhat to a little bit more rational year this year. There's nothing, I mean, you know Greece and they're rioting because all of a sudden they got to tighten their belt. I mean, if that isn't crazy, I don't know what is.
That's like going to Peter here and demanding a loan. I look kind of right in front of your bank and say, I want a loan. Will I get any money?
Yeah, I'll give you the money.
Richard, will energy, both from a fuel and food aspect, is that going to have an impact on the market?
That's probably better addressed by your folks at Merrill Lynch. But, yeah, I mean, the energy, you know, all of a sudden we've seen over the last several months, at least I've noticed at the pump, it takes a little bit more money to fill the tank than it did. And so it's always a drag when that cost goes up. I mean, it costs more for the airlines, it costs more for the trucks, it costs more for, you know, moving things around. Costs more to heat the homes, and then we get, you know, in Europe, they're probably having a huge problem with it right now. They've got a cold wave that's setting all kinds of records. The Danube is frozen. It's amazing. So, yeah, it's going to have a...
No, I mean, that's going to curb consumer spending. Consumers are already, I mean, although unemployment figures are coming down, very little wage growth. There's still a lot of spare capacity in the system. So, you know, that's why we're a little light on consumer discretionary. And you know, the staples area was very good last year, but it doesn't seem that, you know, it's a little overpriced. So, from positioning, you know, we want to be overweight energy. We think that there's, you know, supply and demand imbalances there. But yeah, there's no doubt that that's. Is going to make it difficult for,
you know,
consumers.
Yeah, the one, I guess, one of the quote-unquote bright spots, I mean, there are a couple of them. One is we keep getting good reports out of earnings from corporations in the U.S. Part of it has been their belt tightening. From the standpoint of the overall health of most of the companies are doing quite well, and you look at the high yield area. Meeting after meeting, most of the managers say that their portfolios are of a higher quality than they've ever had before, because even down at the lower tier of fixed income, they've cleaned up their balance sheets, And there's some hiring that's going on now. I mean, in the private sector, the public sector keeps laying off, it seems like, but the private sector is starting to expand somewhat. And hopefully, as we move through this, you'll start seeing that come back into purchasing and consumers getting out and starting to purchase again.
Okay, Richard, thanks.
Right.
Anything else to report?
We lowered our benchmark guarantee rate of return to our employees. Did we lower it from 7 to?
It was 7.5.
It was still 7.5. Still 7.5, and yet we're having a hard time getting that rate.
Richard, were you going to address? Did John talk to you about that? The impact?
Well, you know, there have been a number of public and, you know, not quite so many private, because they're still, well, everybody's strapped, but there's been a lowering of expected returns from the standpoint of funding their pension plans. Over time, you've got two things that are happening. One is you're earning on your assets and you have a liability, and that liability you're going to pay off. You're earning on assets and you're putting money in. The less you earn, the more you have to put in. So by changing the assumption, you either put it in earlier or you put it in later. If you raise the assumption, you're spreading it out further over time. If you raise the assumption, you're putting it in faster. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the same liability that's being paid off.
But if you go back and look at it, and I don't remember what page it was, contribution, we contributed about $300,000 out of the VRA, and earnings were about $700,000, and we spent over $1 million, so we basically went in the hole last year. Last 12 months.
Last month, yes.
I think I'm correct in saying that we asked for actuaries to come back and give us some alternative yields. And I assume they're working on that. But,
well, in my discussions with John, the thought is that the actuary is going to be doing his report soon. And the time to look at alternatives to the expected return would be when they do that report, and you could get to see then what the impact of changing a 0.5% or a percent, yep, or whatever it is would be on the funding.
Well, it's obviously going to increase our contribution from the VRA standpoint.
Right.
That's my concern.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to go from 300,000 to 400,000 or whatever it is to continue to fund that thing, even at 7.5%. And we lower that, well, it's obviously going to drive that higher. Well, we got 100 employees now on retirement. What's the number?
That are currently ready to 365 in the DB.
But that's 365 in the plan. We've got how many actually retired?
Retired or beneficiaries are 100.
Yeah.
100.
Okay, that's what I thought I remembered. So we got a lot of folks out there expecting some money down the line, and
we're not earning it. This market's not earning it. Our historical since inception's not earning it. That's my concern, is that, you know, if we're going to promise a 7.5% return in a market yield that we've been in for a good number of years now, that's not anywhere. It's not yielding that, and. You know, that we properly disclose our liability. If it's an unfunded liability, you know, I can appreciate what you're saying, Richard, but we also want to be prudent and careful to fund our liabilities. And as it grows, we have to address that.
Right.
And we either address it by funding it, or we lower expectations. Benefits to the employees, which, you know, we want to keep from having to do at all, as best we can, but we don't want to be in a position where we just ignore this. And there's a lot being said about that in the market today and in the public sector. FASB is coming out with some new accounting rules on accounting for these liabilities. I don't know if we have, I don't know if you're familiar with that or aware of that. There are some that are coming out, and we just have to be on top of that. So we all know that this money rate environment today, that money really is, it's very difficult to get a yield no matter what. No matter what allocation, no matter, you know, what's going on and how we decide to invest. The thing that I look at is that it, we would almost be better off going back to a defined benefit plan rather than the trust or the BRA taking the risk of promising a certain return. And it's being all borne by, you know, by the BRA, because that's kind of what I see us doing right now. We're guaranteeing a return, and you know, whatever that cost is to the BRA is going to be what we fund, which is what you were describing. And yet, because of the way we account for this, we don't necessarily have to show it all on any given year. We can make up a little bit of it, and then it's almost like we're playing to hope for the better returns later. Yeah, am I saying that right, Richard?
When do we get the actuary report? Next board
should
meeting?
Should be next. The plan ends on the 29th of February. So
okay, okay. So,
we
so we'll be looking at those numbers again then in the next meeting, for sure.
There's a lot going on in the world of how much is that liability really out there. And so we want to make sure we address it. Our committee addresses our plan properly. And so it is a hot topic, no doubt. So we look forward to hearing from the actuaries next meeting then.
The numbers I sent to y'all, I don't know if you looked at them or not, but basically what I did was use the indexes and going back to the 2000. And if you look at that, our annualized return on this plan has been about 4.5% to 5%. That's before expenses. So the bottom line is we haven't even been close to 7.8.
Yeah. Well, the real unfortunate thing that happened in that 10-year time frame, the in that area, which is hopefully an anomaly and we don't see this again, are two of the three worst equity markets of the last 100 years happened in those 10 years, and it's like, wow, we come out of one and then just get smacked again.
And we have to address that. I mean, we have to either account for it and pay for it if we're going to continue a rate of return, or you know, because we ignore it, we're going to end up with this huge unfunded liability,
right.
And we don't want that either. You know, we need to make it up, or adjust the rate of return or expectations. Whatever the case, we need to make sure we're accounting for it properly. And I think that there are a lot of plans, public plans, that have seen this liability grow and they haven't addressed it. Yeah. I don't want our committee to be in that position. We don't need to be in that position as an organization.
So what do we do to try to hedge against that, to where you posture yourself to the best possible position, to where you are, this committee is prudent and they took the necessary steps? I mean, this is analogous to Granberry. Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about the drought. Just keep a damn lake full. And I mean, it's almost the same. So I guess my question is there people out there in the market addressing this?
Yes. Yes, they are.
And how do they do it?
Well, they're gonna say we can't promise to pay a 7.5% return when we are in a look back period for 5 years since the inception of these numbers that we have presented, where there's not a 7% return there. That it's only 5.5%, okay? And we also need to look forward to our monetary policy. Right now, we're still gonna stay in this, according to what's planned, a 0 to 25 basis point monetary policy, which delineates, you know, another couple of years, or at least the Fed says through 2014. We're not gonna see money rates go up, which will be reflecting, I think it's going to reflect more of the same. If the monetary policy continues as it is, then our yields are going to be tougher and tougher as they've been. And to promise a 7.5% rate of return in a monetary policy over a 10-year period that we're going to end up having, if you know, if it's what the experts say and what the Fed says, then you know, we've either got to fund the plan, or we've got to, you know, lower expectations and modify it with the actuary. So, you know, I look at it this way. Yeah, you know, the lake level's full. We're promising a full lake to the employees.
Yeah.
And so we've either got to pay for that water, or we've got to say you can't expect a full lake. Analogy-wise.
Again, using your analogy, what we need is rain, good strong rain in the market.
Yeah.
That's what we need for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the bottom line is we're going to have to come back and say to the board and say, we got to put a lot more money in this thing.
Need another source, another water source.
Absolutely. And the only source of, we've really got, as I see it, is returns in the portfolio we have or contribution from the BRA. I mean, there's no other, that's it. And I don't know, again, whether we could, I don't even know, Monica may have an idea on that, but I don't know what it takes to amend benefits. I'm just not that familiar with it. And I'd hate to be the one carrying the message to say, hey, you know, y'all have been working for the BRA for 30 years and we promised this, but we're really only going to do that. And I think we've got a real
challenge.
Tsunami, so to speak, coming if we don't either get the returns on the portfolio or plan on paying for it out of the budget each year.
In some sense, we are actually doing a defined benefit.
Yeah. Well,
because if we're guaranteeing 7.5 and we're not making it up, we really are defined contribution, no doubt. But in this particular market, and this is what in this particular market, monetary policy, there are no yields out there. And these guys over here know they're out there scrambling to try to get a yield, and one quarter they have a return, and then it's negative that wipes out the last two. And they're just, this has been a real rough investment rate of return period for us. But the thing that I'm saying is it's not anticipated that it's going to get better anytime soon. Would you agree?
Well, and by getting better means rates going up, which means the 30% of your portfolio that's tied to fixed income has poor performance.
No.
Well, if that's the case, then we should be expecting better performance out of the equities. But
it should be. We've been saying that.
Correct.
So we've got basically 30%, nearly 40% of our portfolio is yielding nothing. When you get right down to it, the after expenses and so forth, we're basically flat, if not negative.
But it's not losing dramatically.
Well, that's the good news. That's the only good news.
I did read in a report the other day that the average DB plan is 70% funded.
Right.
After you're on through this.
And that's what's in the real scenario that we're in, just like the Grecians. They're having to deal with today getting less because it's just not there. And at some point we have to reconcile that. Today's not the day, but let's continue to look at our numbers, get our actuaries on board, because we do have to address this. I think FASB is going to come and knock a lot of these plans in the face with required disclosures that will actually end up on the BRA's balance sheet or income balance sheet as a fund matter. And right now they're out there, but they're not reported necessarily. Well, those are my comments. I know it's the elephant that's in the room, so to speak, but we've got to keep addressing it, and feeding it, and watering it, and so forth. Okay,
all right.
Let's move on.
Well, there have been, and I was just there have been a number of entities that have lowered their expected return a little, not a lot, but a little, and thereby raised their overall, you know, current
funding.
Yeah.
It's a seesaw,
you know. And the other, here's the hard one. And the other one is that, you know, there's nothing says you have to put in exactly what the actuary says. There are times when you can put in more. And it's just normally the actuary tells you the minimum funding level, and that's what people tend to do.
Well, going back, the only other source of money is out of the budget for raising the cost of water to customers. I mean, that's, you know,
it's part of our operation.
Part of the issue too.
Okay, moving on. Anything else, Richard, you'd like to report? Monica, Phil?
I'll just say, this will be very short. I do all the departure briefings of the people who leave, and we have a turnover that's pretty high in the whole world. And everybody's searching for one because you can't make it out there right now. And with energy, food, and us not giving pay raises except to the other people, that's impacting our ability to keep a workforce and retain people.
We need to continue our good benefits for the loyal staff that stick with us.
What is it? Some percentage of the last five years of compensation, what's our definition of a retirement benefit under defined benefit now?
Under this plan is frozen, so this is not growing for employees. Right now we have with TCDRS, they contribute 6% of their wages towards the TCDRS benefit with a promised 200% match at retirement.
I didn't ask my question right.
I'm sorry.
I understand. No, in other words, we have an employee that reaches retirement. What determines their retirement benefit?
On this plan, it's the number of years of service,
right,
times their last 5 years of compensation,
okay,
times the rate. And
okay,
the rate was different between depending if you were on the old state, on the old plan, or your new plan. However, that was through September 30th of 2007. So it's whatever your wages were at that time. So that benefit's not continuing to grow as employees continue to work. So this plan here, the benefits aren't growing for employees.
I guess I hadn't thought about that.
And at the time that we froze the plan, we were actually in really good shape. It was, you know, right before in September of 2007.
Right.
Theoretically, if everything was going as it went, we would not
have
had.
The plan experienced 100% funding ratio for, probably in the 90s and through 2000s.
Sure.
It was well funded. Right now it's sitting at just above 80%. So
it's still pretty good considering the majority of plans when you look around the nation. But the employee portion of this plan is not growing. The employees could work another 20 years, they will not receive another dime of benefit than what they're currently.
Except what they had currently anticipated up until 07 when the plan was frozen.
That's correct. Their
so if they had a $1,000 benefit earned at that point, that's not going to grow any.
That's
right.
Correct. Regardless what the plan, but we're still responsible
for still unfunded
sure.
even on that.
That's correct.
That situation, but I mean that.
So the actuarial numbers are very critical.
Yes.
Understand.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Bill. Okay. Well, your liability will still continue to grow inversely with interest rates, though, right?
Yes. If our plan
you're almost a year old on the 80% figure that you talked about.
Yes.
And so, what I've always been told as a rule of thumb is that a 5 basis decrease in the rate, the discount rate that you use to value your liability takes a 1% increase in assets to keep the same funding ratio. So looking the other way, if interest rates go down 1%, you gotta make 20% on your assets to equal that. The liability is what's driving a lot of this, and that's the reason something like out of the S&P 500, there's like 300 something of them that have defined benefit plans, and they're like in the high 90s on percent unfunded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my question, we don't have FASB disclosures. We just have GASB disclosures, right?
We're in GASB. Matt,
yeah.
GASB's about to address that as well.
Yeah, but that's one of the problems is that they have not at this point, and there are some huge unfunded, but I mean, that's another subject.
I think it's supposed to be final this summer, probably 2014. We'll have to put it on our financials.
And there's different for public and private. When I said FASB, I mean.
But when we get the actuarial report, it has that little breakdown in there, does it not, of how many people and the ages and the years.
Yes.
So what are our cash outflows in the next, like per year, the next 5 years out of the plan?
I think it was pretty consistent as far as, I don't think there's a big increase in the next 5-10 years, I think.
So it's pretty steady then?
Yeah. I mean, it, there is increases, but I don't think it's anything that...
We're putting out, according to Wellfire, we're putting out about $400,000.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And I think that's been fairly consistent.
So that's no big increase in the next 5 years.
Yeah, and our actuary report...
Excuse me, I have a hearing.
Okay, you better go make that. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
So the actuarial report is very critical for us, and we'll look forward to receiving that. So
yes,
dig through that. Okay, anybody have any other comments, questions on this agenda item? We'll move on.